And good morning to you at 11 o'clock in the morning. Time for another spotlight here on Red River Radio. And we've got something special going on in Shreveport this weekend. We're going to be talking about it here. And if you are a fan of great choral music, if you're a fan of great singing, operatic music, if you just want to attend a phenomenal performance in a magnificent acoustic space, it's all going to happen this Sunday at 7 o'clock at First Baptist Church on Ockley in Shreveport. That is going to be the next performance of Look at the World, or Look at the World 2, I guess, because there's been a one, with Youth Q. And we're going to talk a little bit about exactly what that is and the performance itself. Joining me in the studios is David Portillo, who is one of the top opera singers in the world. I think Opera News has called you like in the top 25. You are it's an honor to have you here. So glad to have you in Shreveport.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I think if I know somewhat of your story, a lot of the reason why you went into singing as a career had to do with the training that you got singing in choirs as a kid, didn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. I definitely grew up with a big choral background because my mother was a choral director, voice teacher, piano teacher at the seminary in San Antonio, Texas. So I also grew up at First Baptist Church San Antonio, singing in all of the children's choirs. And then eventually it just leads you to thinking, well, I'm going to sing in these youth choirs. And then you start taking choir in high school. And before you know it, you're singing opera. I definitely learned how to read music. I learned how to sing with other people and blend. And then as I kept singing and went to college, I did my undergraduate in music education, and I wanted to be a choral director.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, at the end of that time, I was getting a lot of solos with different choirs. I was singing some opera roles here and there. And I decided I wanted to study with a voice teacher up at University of North Texas in Denton. And
A lot of fine musicians have come out of that school, for sure.
Yeah. It was a great experience and a really, really good time for me to be there. I think about that time in my vocal training, I was definitely ready to decide whether or not I wanted to perform more or if I wanted to actually go into a scholastic situation where I was conducting. And I was really happy that I chose to keep singing, keep training. I also, you know, learned how to practice. I learned how to teach a little bit too, mm-hmm. and it really it helps me as a performer a lot more. And then I went into the young artist programs, different places. I was at Florida Grand Opera for a year in Miami, and then I was 4 years in the I was 3 years at the Lyric Opera Ryan Opera Center, and then I spent one more year in Chicago and moved back to Texas in Houston as a freelancer, and just have been gigging from Texas, and then now I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So, oh, okay. That's quite a tour.
It's a tour, yeah.
So what was it like the first time that you not just stepped out for a solo, but actually had a role in an opera? That's much more comprehensive because you have a lot more going on.
Yeah, I think when I was in high school, I did musicals, so I liked being in front of people as a character. I liked putting on the costume and being something different, telling these stories with these characters. And I think a lot of what opera does is that it concentrates on the really important parts of the voice and really kind of highlights the singing. And I was really, really excited to kind of get my to do the things that I liked in musicals that I saw in musicals as a kid, and then do them in a very quote-unquote old-fashioned way, and actually be able to use my voice to be the highlight of the performance. I think that my first real opera role, you know, I had all these little roles as I was in undergrad and grad school, but I did Albert Herring in grad school. That really was such a great character to portray, and then also, of course, the incredible music of Benjamin Britten that I was very, very happy to bring alive. So
yeah, excellent. So as your career has developed, you've gotten to do well, obviously a number of big opera companies, you mm-hmm. know, you mentioned, you know, Chicago Lyric, Washington, and of course that one in New York that so many of us have heard of, right?
Yeah.
So when did you make your debut with the Met?
In 2015 I sang the Count Almaviva in the Barber of Seville for the family performances of the kind of Christmas time performances of the Barber of Seville at the Metropolitan Opera. It was such an exciting adventure, and also I was really lucky because I knew every single person in the cast. I had sung with them before. Some
no
of them
kidding.
I had actually done Barber with before, and I remember just thinking like, oh, well, if every opera was like this and I had all my friends around, I would love to do this all the time. And you don't always get that, but it was a great way to debut for sure. Soon after, I came back for Beethoven's Fidelio. I was Iachino in that production the next season. And then a couple of seasons after that, I was in Thomas Otis's The Exterminating Angel, which was the American premiere of that opera. And it was an incredible experience. And it was on HD, and then it has a really good life also on video right now. It's a really, really amazing piece of orchestral music, and the singing, of course, is just very acrobatic. The story is very, very weird, from a Buñuel film. The story is taken from this Buñuel film of the same name, The Exterminating Angel. And then that same season, I came back to do The Merry Widow, which was Christmas time things. So this is... That was 1, 2, 3, 4. And then last season I was in the Dialogues of the Carmelites by Poulenc.
Yeah.
Which is another amazing opera.
Amazing opera. Nice cheery piece. Not really. Great role. But you're coming back to the Met this season, right?
Yeah. I'll be there in a couple of months for The Magic Flute. Again, the family Christmas time productions. That'll be over the new year. And then I'm really excited about singing my first Steuermann in the Fliegende Holländer, the Flying Dutchman, a new production. And that will be a very exciting experience. And that's in the spring.
Fabulous. And of course, we air the Met broadcast. So we'll all get to hear you in performance for that. And didn't you did I see somewhere that you just did one of the proms?
I did. I was at Glyndebourne Opera, which is a beautiful location for in the UK, in the south of the UK, near a town called Lewes, there is an opera festival that is very, very well known around the world that produces about six productions a season in the summer. And it's on the Garden Estate that's happened since the beginning of the century, last century. And it's a beautiful historic venue for wonderful opera. I did a new production of The Magic Flute of Tamino. And so I was able to, that entire cast did a prom performance at the Royal Albert Hall just about 3 weeks ago. So
somewhere in this great, great career, starting from the beginning, somehow you made a connection with Youth Q, which is, of course, is what's going to happen Sunday. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that and how you got to know Randy Edwards, who, of course, is the director of Youth Q.
Again, from growing up in San Antonio at First Baptist Church San Antonio, where Randy was the music minister kind of before my family had begun going there. Mm-hmm. Our youth choir was involved in a Youth Q event my freshman year of high school, and they asked our music minister if there was anybody who wanted to sing a solo for this concert that was happening at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Coral Gables. Mm-hmm. I was a 14-year-old, just very, very green singer, and a very nervous singer also. And I still got to sing a solo.
Which means you weren't at least shy.
No, right. I mean, I actually got up there and did it. And my mother accompanied me, and I sang this song. And I remember right afterward, I kind of guess I didn't know the amount of people that were going to be there and how everybody was listening. And, you know, when you get really nervous and then something finishes, you kind of drain. And so I just remember crying right afterward because I didn't know what was happening. But then after that, it was like, oh, I'm coming up to sing. It's fine. And that built a lot of confidence, because I think I just kind of learned that was what I wanted to do. So I credit Youth Q for giving me one of my first real great performing experiences that kind of started what I would say is more of a confidence in singing. And
so that confidence you're talking about, isn't that a lot of what Youth Q is about?
Oh, totally. I think being in a youth choir it teaches you so much about responsibility to the people around you. It teaches you so much about how to accept your singing and be able to be resilient and to rehearse and to actually use the skills of your skills and the skills of everybody around you to tell a message, whatever that story is. And the story sometimes for opera singers is something from centuries ago. The story at church is the gospel message. The story for Look at the World is one of unity. And really, this concert is uniting a lot of great music from many different time periods. There's different languages, and there's there's solo music, there's choral music, and it actually teaches a message about uniting people together, which I think is a very important message for our lives right now.
Yeah, especially
and we
today,
are
yeah.
especially today. It's we're trying to figure out kind of how to make sure that we're accepting of each other and know that we are giving love, and this concert is a piece of that. So.
Well, it's an event that has, you know, of course, Randy Edwards was the minister of music at First Baptist in Shreveport, which is where I got to know him many, many, many years ago. But the Youth Q events have been happening for quite a long time. You don't happen to know when it was founded by any chance, do you?
I think 1994 was
quite,
his first
quite a,
one.
Quite a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And opportunity for these younger people to be able to perform, I think, is sensational, and and it seems like they're always in these wonderful huge performances
venues.
with professional orchestras and all of that. I mean, a great event. And so this Sunday there's going to be a chorus of 300 singers. So lots of choral
singers.
Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Edwards is of course going to be conducting.
Mm-hmm.
The other performers on this, let's just mention them.
Mm-hmm.
Actress Angelique Feaster-Evans. Mm-hmm. Is going to be
she'll be reciting a poem over an orchestrated interlude, and it's another beautiful moment of the concert.
The 2019 American Idol finalist Walker Burrows.
Mm-hmm.
Is also going to be performing. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with Walker.
He's also an alumni of Youth Q, and Randy has worked with him. And I mean, it's so great that we're able to use young voices and actually have somebody who has a different style also, who's going to bring so much energy and again, will connect so much about the unity that we're trying to talk about in this concert.
Yeah, and you can already tell then, you know, opera singer, American Idol finalist, mm-hmm. narration and all this, the different styles that are going to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra is going to be performing on this concert, accompanying the singers and you and all of that. So it's all coming together with this huge mass of performers, and in an acoustic environment. Of course, the Shreveport Symphony over the last season has been performing their concerts in the sanctuary of First Baptist Church, as Riverview Theater has been under renovation. Yeah. My understanding is, by the way, it's still under renovation, so the symphony is starting their new season just a week away, actually, in the same space.
Okay.
But First Baptist Church is just a gorgeous. I think of those European concert halls that are very shoebox shaped.
Yes, yes.
And this is it.
We've got it here. Right, and it's not only a beautiful acoustic space, it's a beautiful space just to take in the energy of the music, which I think actually helps a lot how people, how you feel. And I think a lot of what this concert on Sunday is going to do is make you feel different things that are actually going to challenge us and then to move us also. And that's an important reason why we step into concert halls and why we go to recitals and also why we sing. We want to be moved, especially when we want to sing together. It's a special kind of connection.
Well, let's talk a little bit about information for tickets. So tickets are $20, students $10. There is preferred seating that also has a portion of the proceeds. Well, this whole thing is going to benefit Volunteers of America. So the higher ticket prices, of course, a larger share is going to go to Volunteers of America. The preferred seating's at $100.
Mm-hmm.
But there are you can get tickets at First Baptist Church, but you can also go to Youth Q. And let me tell you, that's not the letter Q.
Mm-hmm.
That is CUE. So Youth Q, like it's one word, .org, and get tickets there. They're also on Eventbrite.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get your tickets in advance, or if you show up, you can get them at the door.
At the door.
You want to make sure you get there early, because I would think a lot of people are going to come to this.
We hope that we're going to pack it out. And this it's a big, beautiful space, but we'd like to see as many seats filled. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is this Sunday. It's Sunday evening, 7 o'clock, which is a great time. And is there, again, information about the performance is on the Youth Q website. Again, youthq.org. www.AngeliFeaster.org. And as I mentioned, Angeli Feaster-Evans, actress, American Idol finalist, Walker Burrows is going to be there, 300 singers, the Shreveport Symphony. Randy Edwards is going to be conducting, and of course, my guest this morning, David Portillo, who's a Metropolitan Opera tenor, he'll be performing as well. So what are you going to sing Sunday?
I'm going to sing three different arias, two Donizetti arias, the A Mes Ami from The Daughter of the Regiment, and then I'll be singing Una Furtiva Lagrima,
of
which
course
is
you are.
Yeah, another tenor favorite from The Elixir of Love. And then I'm going to sing a Mendelssohn Sacred oratorio aria, the Then Shall the Righteous Shine Forth, nice. Which is from Mendelssohn's Elijah.
Yeah, so you get the classical music plus other styles as part of this performance as well. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you before we stop. So we talked a little bit about what you're going to be doing at the Met this year. Mm-hmm. Any other dream projects that you're working on that you can talk about?
You know, it's kind of funny because I feel like when I keep dreaming about the roles and about the places and they keep happening, it's like, well, there has to be a next,
that's a
right?
good thing.
That's a very good thing. And I really think that finding peace in music and finding peace in collaborating has also been such a really fun part of being a musician and being especially a freelance musician. I think I'm doing three Taminos in a row this season, so I think kind of keeping that that theme is really fun. And again, I told you the story earlier before we were on air, but I'm having my family come up to see the Met performances of Magic Food, and I'm super excited to have my nephews come to New York for the first time and to be on the audience. And that kind of those kind of dreams you don't really realize when you're young that those are the things that you want to see happen. And
they're
going to have a great time. I'm very excited. Yeah, I'm doing also a couple of world premieres coming up. One in St. Louis Opera this coming season called Awakenings, based off of the Oliver Sacks novel. That's at Opera Theater St. Louis this summer. And then next summer I'll be in Santa Fe for something that I can't talk about yet. But
okay, that's all right. That's all right. We'll catch up on you on later on. Yeah. Well, David, I want to thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And for talking about your career and talking about the Youth Coup performance this Sunday. Again, tickets, $20. There are students and preferred seating available. Again, go to youthq.org. That performance is 7 o'clock this Sunday evening at the First Baptist Church on Ockley in Shreveport. I'm Kermit Bowling. My guest has been David Portillo, Metropolitan Opera tenor.
Pleasure.
I'm going to make that your title.
Oh, wow.
Instead of just tenor, because you are. It's been great having you here. And if you're with an organization and you have an event coming up you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, just give us a call at 800-552-8502. Thanks, David.
Thank you.